There was another change, too. The administration of government for the state had for many centuries rather resembled a family business run by high nobles, all of whom were related to each other and to the royal family. Now things changed. The business of running the state passed to trusted commoners, officials of vast administrative experience. More and more of the king's time was spent presiding over his ambitious political provincial governors and maintaining overseas trade beyond Egypt's frontiers. Egypt, for example, had almost no timber. It relied heavily on timber-rich Byblos, a city on the eastern Mediterranean coast, for cedar, the famed cedars of Lebanon of the Old Testament. And it's no coincidence that this trade was a royal monopoly. From ports like Byblos, too, the Pharaoh's agents acquired goods from Mesopotamian city-states. Successive Old Kingdom pharaohs sent expeditions to the south into what is known as Nubia to acquire slaves, ivory, and other tropical goods. The Egyptians called Nubia the land of the bowmen because the Nubians were skilled archers who often served in Egyptian armies. The land upstream of the first cataract was Nubia, an unknown land from which tropical products and eventually gold helped nurture the kingdom. The last Old Kingdom pharaoh was Pepi II, who came to the throne in about 2278 BC. He reigned for over 60 years. Some people believe he reigned as long as 94, but that's stretching credibility. Pepi's reign began well, but he was soon beset with misfortune. After about 20 years of his reign, in 2258, King Sargon of Babylon, whom we met in the previous lecture, sacked Byblos and destroyed a major source of the royal wealth, the monopoly in the timber trade. At the same time, a drastically weakened and poorer pharaoh had to deal with increasingly rebellious provincial governors. He paid them off with lavish gifts, but this didn't work. The only thing that kept him going was his long experience, his long reign, and his prestige. He died. And at about that time, a series of poor floods, starting in about 2180 BC, brought chaos. Throughout most of the Old Kingdom, the floods had been good. The Pharaoh's kingdom had been prosperous. Harvests had been good. But now, the poor floods brought famine. It is said that people could walk across the Nile in Upper Egypt dry shod. People starved. The central government, headed by a series of weak pharaohs, collapsed soon after Pepi's death. What happened? The central authority evaporated, the pharaoh was unable to feed the people, and the kingdom dissolved into a series of competing kingdoms headed by warlords. Now, the pharaohs for centuries had preached that they were infallible. But here was a flood. Here was no flood. The pharaohs obviously had no control over the kingdom, and their prestige evaporated, because they did not control the flood and could not stave off famine. They were proven fallible. The local provincial governors behaved now like kings and boasted in their funerary inscriptions of how they saved their people from starvation. And the future of ancient Egypt was seriously in doubt because the kingdom had come apart. In this lecture, we've looked at the origins of ancient Egyptian civilization among a patchwork of small kingdoms along the Nile, which grew up after 4000 BC. We described the process of diplomatic and military monopoly, which made Nekhen and then This come to dominance, and how unification took place in about 3100 BC, an event surrounded by intense symbolism. Then we described Old Kingdom Egypt, the pyramid building, and the building of these pyramids which served both religious and secular processes. And then finally, we described how this remarkable kingdom came apart.